Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Ed Piskor.
My name is Brian Moss.
We have Aki Yanagi sitting in doing the translation, and in front of the hot lights, Yutaka Minowa, principal key animator for Ninja Scroll, the character designer of Ninja Scroll. Not exactly a Madhouse employee, but has been working for Madhouse for quite a long time. Thank you so much, Yutaka, for coming through.
Sorry.
One of when we first hung out, mm-hmm. I released a cover mm-hmm. for Fantastic Four where I drew the Thing.
Yes.
In a pose like Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns, yeah.
And then you said that the Thing mm-hmm. is a character that you like a whole lot, mm-hmm. and it made me think of Ninja Scroll because the first Devil of Kimoon mm-hmm. is the big rock guy. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder about American comic book influence. Are there any names that you could name?
これは大前提として、mm-hmm. キャラクター原案川尻さん、mm-hmm.
はい、川尻監督
mm-hmm. が一番最初に。Mm-hmm.
So this is a very basic part that we need, everybody needs to know. But all the characters are based on the idea of the director Kawajiri-san. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that, you know, like it was his idea to make like Tessai, the very first devil, to become a rock. It was the director's idea. So that is for all the characters. So for the characters for the Ninja Scroll, there were no like influence from, you know, him. It's
right.
more like based on Kawajiri-san's character designs or character settings, and based on that, he did like just the design.
Right. So, in other research, I seen over a number of articles and things, it described that you're not exactly an employee of Madhouse, but you've been on loan to Madhouse, and I wonder what that means.
まあ、最初は
Actually, he is a part of a studio called Takuranke, mm-hmm. and he was an employee for that studio. And then he was a kind of, not rent is like the right word, but he was like working for Madhouse from Takuranke. And then usually he had a contract for not a monthly payment, but more like a paycheck for the whole animation film,
right?
Which is not the best way to do a contract, he says. But so he's actually a part of another studio, and that studio had a contract with Madhouse, and
right.
so that studio Takuranke will let Minowa-san use for Madhouse's animation any film or like TV series. That's how it worked.
Okay, that makes so much sense mm-hmm. too. Like the idea of you take money for the entire film mm-hmm. because maybe on paper mm-hmm. the film is supposed to take 14 months, mm-hmm. but when you start to get busy doing the work, it's 20 months, mm-hmm. and you know, you're still getting the same pay. Mm-hmm. So I see how that could be disadvantageous. Mm-hmm. Back to the Ninja Scroll stuff mm-hmm. first, real quick. So the director comes up with the character designs, mm-hmm. and I wonder, you know, Yutaka is credited as character designer. Mm-hmm. So what did he receive? Was it notes or were there actual mm-hmm. art pieces mm-hmm. or sketches that mm-hmm. he initially worked from?
Kawase-san wa motomoto animator no koto de mou subarashii character designer nande motomoto arito rafue de.
So actually some people may know about Mr. Kawajiri, director Kawajiri is also a famous animator.
Of course.
So he can draw by himself. So actually, there was actually a rough sketch of the characters, and so he used that rough sketches and they added his own, you know, elements or like made it brush up and stuff like that to become a character. But this was Minowa-san's first time to work with Kawajiri-san,
right.
So Kawajiri-san didn't know who will be the character designer at that point. So you know, it wasn't the character rough design by Kawajiri-san was not made for Minowa-san, but
of course,
just anonymous somebody that will be the character designer. So.
That is an interesting thing when looking at Yutaka's mm-hmm. Filmography mm-hmm. because it seems like he gets in mm-hmm. with the director mm-hmm. And then more responsibilities mm-hmm. he gets trusted with more and more mm-hmm. responsibility. Mm-hmm. So like for Animatrix, mm-hmm. I was reading that you know, he was first commissioned to do mm-hmm. some light work, mm-hmm. and then he got more and more and more responsibilities mm-hmm. along the way. So mm-hmm. that suggests that that the director mm-hmm. Has a lot of faith in him.
Mm-hmm. 2、3 人キャラポコッと出されてはいたんですけど、まあ、
I think yeah, he's thankful that he thinks that Kawajiri-san has faith in him and just very, you know, appreciated. He appreciated that very much. But also, I think after Ninja School, they worked together on Vampire Hunter D.
Of course.
But Vampire Hunter D. It was based on a novel that was already published, so somebody had their own ideas. Of course, Kawajiri-san had his own idea of character design, and he also had his own, you know, like ideas that he could pitch, and that kind of came together. So it was not just more like faith, but it was kind of like, you know, like a collaboration work that kind of worked out. And if we talk about Animatrix as well, actually Kawajiri-san was pitched from the Wachowskis with the script, but he turned that down. He completely deleted that,
yeah,
and didn't use it. And he came up with two scripts, and one I think was Lana, and then the other one was called Jedi, which I think Minosan worked on. But it was kind of like, you know, again, they didn't have anyone in mind to work on that. So, but then it came to Minosan, and then the more they worked, the more responsibility he had to do. Mm-hmm. So it was more like a flow.
Right.
It was not just about the relationship, but he kind of, while they worked together, you know, the responsibilities were added on because of the flow of the work. So.
Yeah, that's how it was described online.
When Mr. Kawajiri works, he has his own group of people, the Kawajiri team kind of thing. So whenever somebody comes up, or he comes up with like a storyboard, like a script, he's had a flexible mind, and he asks to everybody in the team. So even if you're like a rookie or very young, you know, like a beginner in the industry, he still listens and have a ear to anyone.
Yeah.
So he always has like the mind to like drain in any kind of ideas,
right,
which he thinks is works the best. So that's why kind of like, you know, like Minosan was also, you know, working together, and Kawajiri-san was flexible to, you know, induct Minowa-san's ideas.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's basically what I read online. Mm-hmm. It said that you talk about created like one piece, mm-hmm. and then based on that one piece, they went into a different direction mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. Animatrix.
それは多分、あの、僕も今言われて、あっとか思ったんですけど、あの、川瀬さんのスクリプト、シナリオに対して、
The story that was behind it is that when Kawajiri-san came up with the script, after reading the script, Minowa-san made some like image illustration for that, and
right.
that was like the beginning of the whole, you know, like a process.
Right.
The beginning.
So
based on that image illustration, you know, they didn't have the character design or anything, but there's, you know, like when you draw an image illustration, there's already a character inside. So that kind of influenced Kawajiri-san, and so when they went back and forth, Kawajiri-san came up with some ideas, and they kind of like pitched it, you know, back and forth, and at the end he became the, you know, like Minowa-san became the character designer.
Right.
So what I'm curious about is some of the early influences. I think the American audience would really appreciate this. Is there's a connection to the work with like a superhero mm-hmm. feel to it, mm-hmm. and what I'm curious about is is there any early American comics that he was into when he was a kid,
mm-hmm.
or that there's a connection with, or and what was that discovery? Was it like in a store with like floppies?
Mm-hmm.
Was it through television and movies, or was that a later
mm-hmm.
influence with mm-hmm. like the superheroes and the American stuff?
So actually his biggest influence is the Japanese director Osamu Dezaki, and he's the director of Ashita no Joe's movie version,
mm-hmm.
and also he's very famous for the movie Treasure Island, Takarajima, and Captain Silver is one of his biggest influences. in the Transformers movie, but you know, back in those days, they were like in the 70s, the animation movies were made more for adults, and so they look cool as a kid for him. And if it comes to American comics, in the 70s, late 70s, there was the smaller size American comics translated into Japanese. I think it was Jack Kirby's stories of Fantastic Four that he bought, and that he loved a lot. And especially his hero is, again, the Thing.
Right.
And he's also a big fan of Dr. Doom.
あとまあ実写で言ったらもちろん特撮とかは好きだったんですけど、はい、どちらかっていうと
I think another influence is that in Japan back in the days maybe like in the 70s a lot of Hollywood movies were on TV like every night there was like a 2-hour slot that you can watch in Japanese overdubbed Hollywood films,
right?
And I think he thinks that that is one of the biggest influence for him because he was watching a lot of Hollywood movies every night. And also, he knows that you know, like Ninja Scroll is said that you know it might be the art style might be influenced by American comics or like American character designs, but maybe he thinks that before Ninja Scroll, Kajiri-san worked on a movie called Wicked City.
Of course, yeah.
And then that. He thinks that, you know, Kajiri-san has in mind to make those characters a little bit more American style or American comic book art style, especially with the shadows of how it was put on. Mm-hmm. So he thinks that he sure has something in mind for the film to look like a little bit of American comic style art style. And then this is like after, the Ninja Scrolls after that. So that's why maybe, you know, there's like a point at, for the art to look a little bit like, you know, American comic book style with a lot of shadows, you know, and some effects.
Yeah, 僕個人で言ったら、あの、あれなんですよ。まあ、明日の城とか、はい、かっこいいののその流れで描いてるつもりなんで。
For him, he is, the way he draws is more like he was affected by 明日の城 and the art style of that, so he'sArt style is more in the line from that and get affected more from those kind of movies like the Dezaki movies, what we call.
Yeah.
And so, and especially around the time when he was making Ninja Scroll, he was collecting Sienkiewicz and Mike Mignola, but that was just as a hobby.
Of course.
And those art style, as you can see, has never affected the work.
Right.
So
right.
It was very separated. So at least for him, for his work, there was no...effect or, you know, like, influence for American comics.
I get it. I get
it. Work-wise.
So when he's talking about the Hollywood movies
mm-hmm.
being an influence,
mm-hmm.
are we talking compositions
mm-hmm.
and camera angles
mm-hmm.
and storytelling?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously that's moving pictures. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's live action. It's
mm-hmm.
not drawing.
そうですね。これ、まあ、バカなんであれなんですけど、あの、あれなんですよ。あの、もう、やっぱ、お話面白いなっていうのが一番で、あと、
He says he's a very stupid guy, and so he likes, appreciates very simple, you know, like, he appreciates Hollywood movies in a simple way. So, his, ultimately, he thinks that if the story is good, nothing matters. And so, he thinks that, you know, the,when he watches the story, movies, he always, you know, is impressed by the stories.
I see.
And also, to drive the story, you need a character. So the characters are really, you know, like, has a very characteristic that's very strong, that impresses people. So those two elements are like the biggest part of watching a lot of Hollywood movies. And ultimately, also, he thinks that if the story is good, the art doesn't matter, the picture doesn't matter. And he thinks he's one of the not so good artist in the animation industry, which I told him that if somebody listens to this, like 100 people's gonna cut their, you know, arms off.
Right.
So,
including us.
Yes.
Right.
But anyway, so it's just about the stories.
Right.
And of course, he's watched like not just Hollywood movies, the Japanese movies, a lot of movies.
Of course.
So maybe he soaked a lot of it into it. So when he outputs, maybe there's some influences, but not anything directly. So it's more like, you know, how the Hollywood movies are really fun to watch, well made, as in story ways. And
right.
You know, if the story's not good, then it's even if the art is bad, if the story is good, even that still makes a good movie. So or animation. So you know, so the biggest influence from movies, especially Hollywood movies, is about the story, and you know he's getting impressed by like how they compose this or how they would show this or how violent they could do in our movies. So a lot of things are really, you know, just about how you know good the story is.
I get it. So but behind your back, got an image of Jubei. And this is like me being a defense attorney with a guy in the witness box, because this is a two-part question, and I'm going to get the first answer first. So whose dominant drawing style are we looking at there? Kawajiri or Yutaka?
ここで言えばもちろんカズさんなんですけど、例えば場面場面で、
So basically, it's based on Kawajiri-san's design. So as a full, you know, it's more of a Kawajiri part is very strong. But from part to part or like cut to cut, there are scenes or like art that is very very much Minowa-san's style. So there are some nuances in the art that's very strong from Minowa-san.
Okay.
あの川尻さんのフィルムいくつか見てらっしゃる方は分かると思うんですけど、
so、If you look at other Kawajiri-san's films and filmography、the style of his is deduction. He's tried to deduct as much as possible and make it simple as possible、and so it's more like simplicity with art style or the film style. But Minowa-san's art style is more ofadding, so he wants to draw and add more details, add more styles. But right now, I mean, you know, right now it's really hard to say, but he's regretting that.
Who's regretting what?
Minowa-san's regretting what he did with Jubei or
I find that that you know many artists, that, like everybody wants to re-edit their work and things like that, and certainly visiting out here, there is a lot of humble attitude out here, and I was expecting him to say it was Kawajiri's style, which the second part of what I was going to say was I've seen Kawajiri's work when it's not with Yutaka, and certainly Ninja Scroll, Vampire Hunter D, Bloodline, the Animatrix, anything that Yutaka has hands in, it looks different than all the rest, which tells me that we're seeing a lot of Yutaka on the screen, more maybe more than he admits.
これ誤解してほしくないのは、僕あのその後悔してるって言ったんですけど、ジュベインプットのフィルムのルックは僕後悔してないんですよ。なぜかというと、まあ今エドが言ってくれたように、あれ、あの僕の悪いとこいっぱい出てるんですけど。
So he doesn't want you to take this wrong, but、the word regret is something that this is going to take a little long to explain. But as a film for the Ninja Scroll, he satisfies what it looks like.
Yeah.
And, but if it wasn't with him, and if it was done by Kawajiri-san, it might have had a different look.
Right.
That could be something different.
Right.
That's kind of like the part that he regrets about. But he himself, as the animator and as a professional, he is satisfied with, you know, what Ninja Scroll looks like, or Vampire Hunter D looks like, or the Animatrix looks like.
Right.
But, and he's also satisfied. He had the chance to watch Ninja Scroll again because he started streaming.
Right.
And in some parts, like, oh, I did a good job on this, you know, like facial expression.
Yeah.
This cut.
And I want to ask some of those questions, but keep going.
But still, you know, what if he wasn't involved? And, you know, like, that's kind of like the regret part.
I get it.
Yeah.
B-Moss, you got something?
Yeah, so we have back in America, when you talk about the old VHS era of anime, you got Vampire Hunter D, Ninja Scroll, Akira. Those are like, you'll find them everywhere, very pervasive. So going into working on Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, was there any concerns or any apprehension or expectations because of the original having such a big impact? I don't know the impact here per se, but in America, that movie's a big deal, Bloodlust. So I'm curious to the process in general and the expectations from how successful the original was to the new one.
まずアメリカ側のっていうのはないんですよ。もうまあ日本のプロデューサーが日本で作って。
Honestly, he didn't think anything about the influence from America because of the Bloodlust was indeed invested also by an American company. But for the people who worked on the films were all Japanese and just working at a Japanese studio. So they didn't think about if there were any kind of a, you know, effect or influence or any kind of, you know, words from the American people or the American industry on the film. So they were working, you know, like as a normal Japanese animation film when they were working on it. Of course, there was a little story that when they were working on the storyboard, the American side has asked, like, why has D has this face on his left hand? You know, but if
like they didn't see the original,
or, you know, like if and most of the Japanese people know vampire has even from the novel, so that's the essential part of
vampire. Of course,
D.
Right? Yeah.
But if they explained that, so now that was solved. But you know, at the storyboard, you know, some people has asked for that to take it off or whatever they said. I'm not sure, but. So that was solved, but then other than that, there weren't anything really, you know, like big that influenced the making of the film or anything.
The videos are brought to you by the books that we make, and 2023 was and is a big year. 2024 is going to be just the same. The Hip Hop Family Tree Omnibus is out there. About 75% of this print run has been accounted for, so you guys have about 25% left of our stock to go. Scoop up that book if you see it. It's going to make an excellent gift. The X-Men Grand Design Trilogy comes out November 14th. It collects all of my X-Men Grand Design works inside of one nice, handy soft cover. Scoop that up. There are three volumes of Red Room that are completed. Two of them are out on the stands right now, The Antisocial Network and Trigger Warnings. But coming to you in early 2024 is Red Room Crypto Killers with dozens of pages of extra features and commentary in the back. Street Angel, Princess of Poverty is coming to you at the end of November. It is a companion piece to Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive. You get both of these books. You have all of Jimmy's Street Angel comics to date. He's been self-publishing, and here you have True Crime Funnies, the black and white zine, 1986 zine. Go to Jimmy's website. He might be sold out right at the moment, but you never know. He might have fresh stock, depending on when you're watching this video. And Hulk Grand Design is Jimmy's contribution to the Grand Design mythology that we have created for Marvel Comics. Now that we're done paying the bills, let's get back to the video.
Right.
He understands that there's a lot of fans for the old Kaijiri edition. But it's more like comparing, you know, the very first Gundam and the modern Gundam. Mm-hmm. They're both Gundam, both different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's just made differently.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and especially when he was working on it, rather than the fans of the first film, he had more in his mind about the fans of the novel, the original novel.
Yeah.
So he was thinking about those people and trying to, you know, change those people when he was making the film. So there wasn't a lot of, you know, like, effect or you know, like expectation from the first film fan. But when he actually started working on the project itself of Vampire Hunter D, he actually did pitch to remake the very first novel that came out, and that will explain like why he had the left hand face and stuff like that. But that was kind of turned down, and that kind of, and so they made the Bloodlust, which was based on the third novel.
Right.
テーマは一緒でも、うん、お姫様を助ける話とロードムービーで全然違うので、
う
ん
う
ん、だからそういう意味で本当に別の映画だよねっていう感
じ。And also, you know, like, the first movie was more like, you know, helping the princess, more like damsel in distress kind of story.
Of
course. But this one, Bloodlust, was more like a road movie.
Yeah.
So it's totally a different movie.
Totally. Mm-hmm. When he's doing work on Vampire Hunter D, do you look at Amano's artwork, or do you make sure you don't look at Amano's artwork when you're coming up with designs?
いやもちろん見ますよ、うん、見るんですよ、うん、もちろん
でそれは影響とかは
影響っていうか、うん、
まあ、デザインとしては残さなきゃいけないエレメントありますよね。
もちろんもちろん、だから各キャラ、うん、もう合衆バンバン積んで各キャラはこういう風に作ろうと思って、うんうん、
So he does look at Amano's artwork, but that's because you know it's a character design,
of course,
and it has to be based on the correction in the correctness of the character. So yeah. He piles up all Amano-san's art book and look it into it and try to you know pull out the elements for the characters of each character that appears on you know his film.
Right.
And also there is a character called Maya Link, and that was actually based on another villain character that Amano-san designed mm-hmm. for another novel of the Bahardi series. But so he had a lot of influence from Amano-san's work in a way.
That's cool.
じゃあもうアマノさんの香りはもう違うルックになってもアマノさんの香りは漂ってるようにしなきゃいけないっていうのはあるんで。
It was like cooking another meal based on you know like the main dishes アマノさん but then you know of course so every time he draws D he always has アマノさん in mind and he, every art that comes out has to have some sort of アマノさん's flavor
right
in the art.But he also had this back theme that he didn't, you know, like say, but there was also a manga version of Vampire D, which was kind of like had his, in his mind when he was doing the work. So, you know, so they were, you know, like trying to make the right D
right.
and the characters.
Does Yutaka have any recollection of the way that we discovered mm-hmm. Ninja Scroll in America mm-hmm. was a licensing deal that was made with MTV,
mm-hmm.
and they would play just maybe like a 3-second mm-hmm. clip
mm-hmm.
when a Beavis and Butthead would go to commercial,
mm-hmm.
and when it would come back, it would play just these like little clips from Ninja Scroll, and it would be all the action beats, mm-hmm. you know, the ninja stars going mm-hmm. through people, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. Does he have any sense about how that deal was made and what the reaction was? Because for us kids growing up seeing that,
mm-hmm.
it was massive. It was the first time I ever went to a comic shop
mm-hmm.
looking for that film. Mm-hmm. The first time I stepped foot into a comic shop wasn't to buy comics.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for Ninja Scroll.
Mm-hmm.
So it had a big impact in the mm-hmm. States, and I wonder if he knew about that.
で僕初めてまあこれいろんなところで言ってるんですけど2000年に、
mm. The first time he recognized that Ninja Scroll was a thing in the United States when he went to AX in 2000 year 2000 and then he was told and he saw all the reactions and everything and he was very happy about it but he didn't know it at all until that and then, honestly speakingNinja Scroll was not a successful film in Japan.
Right, I heard that.
Mm-hmm. So he goes to the States, sees the reaction to AX, and comes back to Japan, and tells Kawajiri-san, like, oh, looks like our film did a good job in the United States. But that's like how also a lot of things got like in a limbo kind of thing afterwards because of that word. That's what he thinks, because you know, now that...Like, you know, he just wanted to say that, oh, Kawajiri-san, our work was very, very praised in the United States, but somebody found out and they, okay, let's make this and that. And you know the story afterwards.
Of course.
But so he feels sorry that maybe if he didn't say that, you know, maybe that kind of the hassle might not have happened later on.
Mm.
But anyway, but he, you know, but still, you know, he was happy, so he couldn't resist from saying it.
Of course.
And of course, he also...told them that you know, you should look into how many films because you know or how many videos it was sold because maybe they did not report Kawajiri-san about the sales
right
MTV で一番最初に流れたんだよっていうのも僕今エドの口で初めて知りました。
It was the first time he knew that it was on MTV.
This conversation it was in 1993 mm-hmm. so the movie was new here
mm-hmm.
And I called comic stores
mm.
every week for 2 years
あの1993年に初めて流れて、うん、それから2年間毎週コミックショップに電話して いつ入るんだって。
それはもう大変申し訳ないこと言った
らして
Every week they'd say no, no, no. And then on year two, eventually somebody said yes, it's coming in next week. And that was my first trip to the comic shop.
2年目でやっと来週入るよって言われて、そこで初めてコミックブックショップに行ったそうです。あのだからこの間冗談で、お前多分ショップでミスター忍者スクロールって呼ばれたんじゃないか
もう、ヘイトの名前知らない方がダメでし
ょ。いや、今はね、今はそうですけど、でも結局、I'm telling you, Noah さん、if you never watched Ninja Scroll, you have never been, you might have never been here.
That's
you
true.
Never drew comics,
right.
You never, you know,
yeah,
you have
absolutely.
Never become one of the, you know, comic mangas in the industry.
So. One of my biggest influences, for sure.
確実に一番でかい影響を受けたもの一つだと思います。
Yutaka has a big career. Do any of the films show off his more natural drawing style? We interviewed Peter Chung, and I asked him this question. What's your natural drawing style like? Because Peter Chung created Rugrats, and he created Aeon Flux.
I didn't know about Rugrats.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was like, how do you draw in your sketchbook? What does that look like? He says that his drawing, he doesn't think about drawing that way. It's based on projects. You know, I have this project, I've got to draw
more
babies.
Like a professional.
Exactly, a professional mentality. And I wonder if Yutaka has ever expressed his natural drawing style in any of his film work. And if so, what would that, those projects be?
もうないかもしれないですね。今はね、だからアニメーターだからやっぱり、あの、僕がキャラクターデザインする作品だけじゃなくて他の作品も描くから、
ですよね、
ごめんですか、
Yeah, so yeah, I kind of like he's a professional animator, so he has to change his art style depending on the film he works on or the TV animation he works on. So maybe there's really none that he did with his own art style, even if he did character designs. It could be close, but not really his art style. And maybe some of the lines that he's been doing is more of Kawajiri-san's line. But anyway, he's more of a guy who likes to draw cool-looking guys rather than cute girls. So maybe, you know, he's more signature art style is more of that.
So just to tell the people at home, you go in Manoa Yutaka's Instagram.
Yeah.
His natural drawing style was pretty representative there.
これだってから今ないっすね。
Right now he doesn't have his own distinctive art style. So.
Right. Yeah, that's what a lot of animators say. One of the things that I notice on the Instagram is when I look at the art, is that it's on animation paper with the aims holes punched into it. Are they still doing hand animation out here, or is that like surplus paper from back in the day?
デジタルいじってる時間がないが一番なんですけど。
いや、リアルな話。
で、現状そのアナログで仕事をさせてもらえてるんで。デジタル環境しかない作品だよってなったら多分それ使用すると思うんですけど、
でも今のところはじゃあ関わってる先に関しては全部まだ
完成ですね。
Yeah, so he still draws in, on paper for any animation, and he's luckily been working on a lot of animation that still needs authentic animation styles and not digital, and also he said that he doesn't have the time to learn how to use those tools anyway.
Yeah.
So if he had to work on digital animation, he has to start from scratch to learn how to use it, and it's going to take a lot of time before he can draw like he can on paper. So.
Right, I feel that same way.
Yeah, so like that being said then, is the special effects in the program, which is the Animatrix scene, did he draw that opening scene and then they transposed that or redid that in CGI?
Yeah, どのシーンだろう?
Opening だって言ってますね、Animatrix。
It's like the black grass swing. I mean, it could be traditional, but it just seems like there's a lot of fusion between CGI and traditional animation. So,
It's more of the background effects, and it's not, but it's not CGI as well.
Okay.
It should be like a drawn, hand painted background art, and how they filmed it rather than using CGI. So he thinks that it's more like how they filmed it rather than, you know, not using CGI and trying to use traditional art animation style to express the black grass.
Because it's just beautiful, so it's like one of those things where it's confusing. So I think it's good for the audience to know. One question I was curious about is with Redline, the animated film. It took 7 years to make. Was that because it was like development hell, or is it because of the detail of the animation, something like that?
So for Redline, it's more of a creative thing, and Mr. Koike, the creator of the Redline, had a lot of things that he wanted to put into the film, and only he can do it, so those elements had to be done by himself. So that's one of the reasons that took a lot of time. And also Minoo-san tries not to see what the background story is for making the film as much as possible, and he wants to concentrate. But still, he heard that, you know, like a lot of the people on the production lines are like telling Koike-san to rush as much as possible. But still, you know, he had his own things that he wanted to do in his mind. Like there was a cut with an alien planet and with a lot of aliens, but he said that should be all direct designed by Koike-san. But and he didn't even make like a character design sheet, so some are like drawn directly into it or something.
Oh wow!
So those kind of, I don't know the word in English, but he has his own sense of design and process, and also like his artistry that he wants to put into the film was one of the reasons that it took longer than a regular film.
Okay.
No, design だけじゃなくて、もう、まあ、動きのニュアンスとか、あの、もう、まあ、黒影っていうフィルムルックとか。
Yeah, so it's not just the design, but how the character moves, how they put in the shadows, you know, all those small details were all Koike-san's style.
Got it.
I think our audience would kill us if I do not ask the question. There was rumors that there was going to be a Ninja Scroll sequel. What happened?
そうですね。まあ僕一絵描きなんで詳しいあれは。
So the biggest part is money. They couldn't collect enough money. But also Madhouse is more like a production company.
Right.
And they don't, you know, like run around and make money to make a film. But they just get, you know,
commissioned by the bigger company.
And also maybe the timing wasn't right. And also he's just an artist, so there's not much you can say anyway, because if he was asked to draw, he will draw.
Of course.
But, you know.
Yeah. And we've seen some things. The animation stuff, I mean, it's a very collaborative process. Yutaka has admitted that we haven't necessarily seen his complete, like, you know, natural style on screen or anything. Is there any impulse to do some singular work, art book or anything like that, kind of by himself without the need for collaboration?
ないとは言わないんですけど、そのこれやるぞみたいな思いがゴンと出てこないっていうか。
So there might not be like a like he won't say no or yes, but right now there's not like a big notion to want to do something like that. And especially his art is not full color, so that might be one reason. Also, he might be doing a lot of doodling and collect that into a doujinshi or, you know, like a self-published small art book, like you see. And maybe if he wants to make that again in the future, he might want to, you know, like display the original art and sell that small book together. But
I'll take a copy.
もうそれ出たら出て。
あとやっぱ半券もだから。
And basically all the work that he's working on is based on other people's properties. It's
right.
IP, so
exactly.
It's not his art fully. So.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big frustration in the States. So many of us. You know, we signed what's called the NDA, non-disclosure agreement.
Of course.
And we have so much artwork that we've produced that nobody gets to see. It's all behind the scenes.
Yes, I totally understand.
There's in the bio, it says that he worked on One Punch Man episode one.
Mm-hmm.
One Punch Man's huge in America. Everyone loves it. Everyone celebrates it. Is there a specific key scene that we can look at that he specifically worked on in that first episode?
まあまあ言ってもいいんですけど、僕あまりその誰がここやったとかってあまり好きじゃないんですけど、まあまあ僕がやったところはあれですね。あの、
So he's not into like who did this cut or who did
that
kind. で女の子が泣いてて、それ掴もうとするとこ助けて、そいつぶん殴ってバーンみたいな。
But if he can recall, the cut that he did was when Oompa Man was saving a little girl, and then, you know, after that he punches this guy and this goes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's like the cut that he did.
ニュースが流れてて、じゃあ行くかって多分歩き出しでマットバッてやってって言って文字がカット出て、そこからじゃないかな。
Probably before that, so after the news comes out and then, you know, Oompa Man puts on his cape. Around that is like the start of the cut that he started doing back to the explosion scene.
Mm-hmm. I know the exact scene.
That
the
one わかります。すぐ。
わかるのもやだ。
That's kind of yeah.
You might have heard that we're kind of otaku.
だんだんあのちゃんとしたインタビューと、あの、
逆にだって僕面白い話できてないんでいいのかなっていう、
ね。No, he's also like curious that, you know, he hasn't been able to say anything further, you know, like interesting.
So. It's fantastic. The people in America are gonna love the conversation.
絶対素晴らしいインタビューになってるんで、絶対アメリカの人たちは喜んでくれますって言ってます。
Yeah.And you know, I understand that he said, you know, he doesn't like to pay attention to the cuts and all that. But earlier in the conversation, Yutaka, you mentioned that you rewatched Ninja Scroll and there was like some scenes that you were proud of or whatever. And I would be curious what those scenes would be in like Ninja Scroll, Vampire Hunter D. Animatrix, the things that he can look back on and say, you know, those were the good ones.
正直言うと、十編に関してはあれだったんですよ。やっぱりあの最初の風作品だったっていうこともあって、どっちかっていうとあの部分部分の、あ、ここいい表情出せたなとか、特に十編は表情が割と。
For Ninja Scroll, of course there were some scenes that he was proud of, especially for the Jubei's facial expression, because his face changes a lot and has a lot of expression.
Right.
So how he changes his facial expression from one scene to another was something that he was proud of. But he was more appreciated to the people who worked on the other cuts and all the people that had the high quality art that was done for those cuts, which he reminds and he appreciates again for their people's, you know, like best work for Jubei, Ninpucho, or Ninja Scroll.
Absolutely.
なぜかっていうと、もう見てもらうと分かるんですけど、もう各シーンでも等身とかバラバラなんで、で、そこの各シーンで、決めとかは力入れたりとかってあるんですけど、だからトータルで言ったらもうバラバラだから。
So if you look back again as a total, there's like a lot of unbalanced scenes, especially for like the structures of the bodies, because it's not like in the same, you know, like structure, like some
right.
are like long, some are like short, and stuff like that. So that's part of the things that as an animator he regrets because he couldn't take the balances. But if you see from cut to cut, there are like well-made scenes that are, you know, like drawn very nicely or made very nicely, like maybe like Mushizo, the bug guy's face was drawn very good, like
right.
stuff like that. So from part to part, he's proud of, but if as a whole, sometimes he kind of like has regrets on things that he couldn't be like a good animator as a whole sometimes.
That's natural. Mm-hmm. That's natural. There will always be things. Mm-hmm. But in, there was some very interesting marks and stuff in Ninja Scroll. Like, mm-hmm. there was the one guy who disappears in the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one scene where they actually use, like, deleter dot screens for the shadow. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen that in animation before.
Sekai. Screen tone.
Yeah.
That's the leader's.
Right. Yeah, you just.
Right.
We've never seen that used in animation before.
あれね、うん、だからどうするかって言って、うん、やっぱ川尻さん、うん、やっぱディスカッションになるんですよ。
うん、He discussed with 川尻さん a lot about how to show it, and by using the dip tones, they were able to decrease the cuts a little bit for, you know, the in-between.
That's cool.
So it's not really moving.
Long screen.
No, it's not moving.
It's just a long shot.
Right,
But still, it was the dots of the leader, it makes it look like...
Yeah.
あとは、ハチもそう。
And the bees.
ロングの鉢。
Right. Oh, the bees were dots.
あれも、
あれも貼って、で、なおかつ、あれブレてるんですけど、だから別のもんを作ってる。
So they used another deleter for the bee scene.
That's
and
amazing.
And like how they did it was, it looks like it's shaking, but it's just moving the deleter
little
by little.
That's amazing.
That's how
really cool.
You know, the part director did a good job with that one.
That's incredible.
It's not about drawing, it's more about using deleter zippotones to make it look like there's a lot of bees and moving.
Another like very simple scene too that I was just talking with my friend Lourdes about this. I told her we were going to be doing this having this conversation. Mm-hmm. And it was the rock guy is slowly, he's talking to Jubei and slowly twirling his weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought up a good point, and I am curious, is rotoscope ever used in your work, in the Madhouse work?
Rotoscope 的な技術を使ったことありますか? Jubei だけどの作品でもない。
No rotoscope on
anything.
Yeah, that's so cool because it's so fluid. And the interesting thing about that scene is that there's like two speeds of animation happening at once.
だからあの二つのスピードが一つのカットで使われてるから、それがすごい驚異的だっていうので。
棒状のものを回すのって川尻さんの悟空で主人公が如意棒を回すんですよ。
There's another Kajiri-san's animation called Goku based on Buishi Terasawa. It's another, like, the Cobra
Dude. The Cobra Dude, yeah.
Yeah, but then there's a scene where he, like, spins the stick. But if you make the spin speed in the same timing, it doesn't look like it's in the same timing or the same speed. So they reference that to Tessai or the rock guy.
Right.
And that kind of made it look like, you know, it's in a different speed.
Yeah, it's not a criticism. Mm. It's more like a celebration. It's very cool looking.
There's not a lot of rotoscope animation in Japan. He said Akuno on the Flower of Evil. That's like one of the very few Japanese animation that used or any reference rotoscope to shoot. But basically, most Japanese animation never use.
That's fair. That's super cool. Mm-hmm. So we're getting close to the end here, and we've been talking about works that are, you know, 25, 30 years old. What are some of the more recent works that that you've participated in?
でも本当に he's more like a spot animator right now. So you know like Freelin, you know the new animation that's on. He did work on that. He also did the new Samurai X.
その前だとまあ無限のジャニーとか。
And Blade of the Immortal he did.
Right.
あとはネットフリックスのあれ手伝いましたけど、
Yeah, he also worked on Yasuke, the Black Samurai.
Right. Mm. Is it abrupt from one project to the next? Like one day you could be working on one series and then the next day you're working on another? Or could you even be working on two in the same day?
Yeah, he can't like work on simultaneously on the same, you know, different animation on one day. So like one day this will be for this and the other will be that, you know, other anime. But basically he has several projects working on at the same time.
Yeah.
But usually he only dedicates one animation per day.
Kaoru-Jerry-san mentioned that in Ninja Scroll, the bees were really hard to animate, and then also the fire scene. So I was curious about his experience and what the struggle was in animation for him. If there's a specific scene or moment, something like that.
でシーンというよりはあれなんですよ、当時この髪型は髪型はやっぱりね、こう
For him, the hairstyle was a big thing. And you know, this hairstyle of course was an idea of Kajiri-san. Mm-hmm. And when he saw the rough design, he thought that this was a cool design.
Right.
So he wanted to keep that. But of course, he made the like the references for all people that he can use, but still a lot of the animators could not kind of get the way to animate it, so he had to go back and check and redo it at some point. But for action, Kajiri-san is a master at action. He also did some live action films as well as
right.
a director.
Yeah.
So, you know, like before they get into the final art, you know, the director checks all the you know, artworks for the animation, the keyframes and everything. And but those were all like checked and like made some revisions by Kajiri-san.
Right.
So it was kind of perfect when it went to Minoa-san's hands, so he didn't have to really redo or recheck or anything on the movements or the actions or anything.
Right.
But he had to do a lot of retakes on the hairstyle and how they show it and how they move it.
Yeah, you know, it makes me recall there was an interview with Carl Barks, the Donald Duck cartoonist, when he got work for Disney, one of the assignments in order to get a job with Disney was you had to animate a waving flag. And that was like the assignment. And I imagine the hair, right? Like you can imagine the hair would probably be not too different than that sort of concept. One thing I do wonder, though, before we get out of here, is sort of going way, way back. Mm-hmm. I wonder what was in Yutaka's portfolio to just get his first works. Peter Chung said that when he got started in animation, he had a 16mm camera at his house that could do one frame at a time, and he would draw on a piece of paper, had no hole punches. He would just kind of match up the corners on another piece, and then one shot at a time.
He made his own short animation.
Exactly.
That was the portfolio for Peter Chung.
Yeah. Did Yutaka have that, or was it static drawings that he presented to get his first works?
きっかけっつったら普通に専門学校行ってそのままアニメ会社入っただけなんですけど。
それは、はい、I think he said that, you know, simply he was going to art school for animation.
Okay.
And then from that, he was able to get into the animation studio. So that's how he got his work. But of course, he was a big fan of Dezaki-san's animation films. And also, he liked drawing a lot. So he kept on drawing. But the critical influence for him to become an animator was the Galaxy 639 movie. The first movie.
Right.
That was a
big deal. スタジオに持ってたのは、もう本当にスケッチブックに、クロッキー帳にいろんな落書き書いてたのを、もうそれこそ、なんすかね、メカからやろうからやろうからやろうからみたいな絵を描いてたのは。
Also, he did have a lot of croquis or like the sketchbooks.
And right, yes, drew, of course. Yeah.
Hand drawings from like Max to a lot of guys, a lot more guys. You know, he drew a lot of that and showed that like a pile of sketches from the younger days to the recent ones to the studios and showed that maybe that could be like the portfolio.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, I mean, you mentioned the Galaxy flick, you know, it's Leiji Matsumoto, right?
Yes,
like and Leiji Matsumoto, like the face proportions are kind of long, like just like
the movie version is more like
Like, but I'm saying Jubei has the, like, a lot of those characters have those Leiji Matsumoto kind of stretch faces and stuff.
まあ、まあ、顔の影響とかもあるんですかねっていうのは、まあまあ、でも、なんともそこら辺は映画版も全然松本先生とは違うし。
いやいや、あの、80年代、アニメ業界の80年代って割とね、顎が長いみたいな、そういうなんか時代があったんですよ。
He said that in
それをね、引きずって
る。There were a lot of people who drew with longer faces and a longer chin.
Right.
There was like a trend. So
yeah.
He said that he still has that.You know, our style. It's been like that from the 80s still.
Yeah, that's cool. You talk, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know it's the end of a long work day and you took the time to hang out with us and filled all of our nerdy questions and I thank you so much. Arigato gozaimasu. Aki-sensei, thank you for translating.
No, thank you for having me. I mean, this is an honor. I mean, he's one of the...most nicest person in the world to me. So
yes.
I'm really happy that, you know, I hope people will, you know, get the feeling of how a great guy this person is.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. The audience is going to love it. Arigato gozaimasu.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Hey, favors, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell so that we can let you know what new videos are available. We are a daily YouTube channel with more than 1,500 videos in our filmography, and there's a good chance we talked about some of your favorite comics.I encourage you to hit the magnifying glass on the front page of the Kayfabe YouTube channel, search for your favorite titles, and check out those episodes. If, by chance, we did not talk about your favorite comics on the channel yet, you have to let us know. Do so in the comments. Let us know what those comics are, and we will push those comics a little bit higher on our to-read pile. Jimmy and I are going to be at Big Apple Comic-Con come December 16th. It's been years since we've been to the Big Apple, and we look forward to seeing you guys, so please come through and bring your comics that we have yet to sign. We have a Patreon, and on the Cartoonist Kayfabe Patreon, the King Kayfabers get all the videos before anybody else, and when the internet cooperates, they are hanging out with us in a live stream recording session.As we make these episodes, mitigates the kayfabe effect. Ultimately, the videos are brought to you by the books that we make. And before you is a pretty good sample of our bibliography, but we'll get into the nitty gritty. Jimmy, let the people know what you got coming out soon.
My next release is Street Angel, Princess of Poverty from Image Comics. This will be out in late November in time for the holiday gift for the action comic, superhero comic lover in your life. And Street Angel, Princess of Poverty collects all the Street Angel comics that are not in Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive, also available from Image. And get both books. It'll complete your collection. I have been self-publishing lately. True Crime Funnies number one is available on jimrug.com, along with BW and 1986 Zine. And if they are sold out there, you can still read them on patreon.com/jimrug. And my contribution to the Grand Design history is The Hulk, which is available in limited quantities because it is sold out at the distribution level. So if you haven't added Hulk Grand Design to your collection yet, you need to pick that up next time you hit the comic shop.
Hip Hop Family Tree Omnibus is my big one for 2023, and it is going fast. Man, there's more than probably 75% of this print run is gone, and stores have been re-upping. It was the number one reordered book on Comicron. So thank you guys so much. Thanks to stores for supporting the book. But if you even have any thought that you want this or you want to get it as a gift, make sure you scoop it up right away. It's the best book I've made to date. 500 plus pages, 10-year anniversary, Hip Hop Family Tree, 50th anniversary of the culture. Scoop it up. Not the last holiday release I'm going to have. Coming November 14th is the X-Men Grand Design trade paperback, collecting all of my X-Men Grand Design works. A couple volumes of that is out of print as we speak, so make sure if you are missing out on your X-Men Grand Design, scoop that up. You'll get it all in one. And there is a trilogy of horror comics that I have made under the Red Room umbrella, Antisocial Network, Trigger Warnings, and coming in January is this trade paperback right here called Crypto Killers, which collects my 2023 season of Red Room comics with a bunch of extras. The books are the most important part of keeping Cartoonist Kayfabe solvent and functional. But there are some other ways to support the channel. Jimmy, let the people know.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe newsletter at the links below this video. You can also pick up Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts, merchandise, mugs, stickers, and more at our spread shop. That link is also under this video.
All good ways to support the channel. Give them those final marching orders, Jimmy, and we'll be on our way.
Read more comics.